Welcome, everyone, to our Christmas celebration at Davisville. We're so glad that you're joining us and that we can only imagine all of the places that you are. I'm thinking of some of you in your living room or your family room, sitting on a couch under a blanket, maybe with a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and just waiting to celebrate with us the birth of Jesus. And we're so excited that you're a part of this. And why don't you, if you wouldn't mind, if you're watching on maybe on a computer, you have access to be able to let us know where you are, or you know, are you sitting on your couch right now? Are you? This is the one I'm picturing, the person who's at a store in their car and their loved one, family member's in doing their last minute shopping, and you're in your car and your phone watching the service. So let us know if that's you or wherever it is that you may be. We're really glad that you're joining us this evening. A couple of things just before we get started. I want to invite you, if you would, and you have the ability to get some candles for each person that you're watching with and an ability to light those candles. Later on in the service, we are going to do that together, and we'd love for you to participate in that with us. I invite you to participate through singing, just through reflection, and I invite you to join me in prayer right now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity in this unique way to be able to gather together to worship the newborn King. We gather in his name. He is the reason that we exist, that we have life, that we have hope. And we want to focus on that hope tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to do that. I pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, help us to lean in, help us to take whatever it is that you want to give to us tonight, and to offer whatever it is we feel prompted to offer to you. Thank you that you love us so much. And I pray that what happens in this time together would be a gift to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join us in singing some carols?
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The shepherds were out in the field watching their flocks at night, something they had done probably hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And as they're doing this, I can imagine them perhaps around a campfire as the sheep are bedding down. I can imagine it's fairly dark and probably somewhat quiet, just like it had been every other time. But all of a sudden, a bright light, a voice of an angel that would soon be joined by a chorus of hundreds, if not thousands, of angels. Something they had never experienced before was happening. And there was a message to be shared. These angels came to proclaim something. And in their message that they shared with these shepherds, there are some key points for us to consider. First of all, they said they had good news. Good news. We all like good news. If someone walks into a room and says, "I have good news," it piques our attention. We lean in. We want to hear more of what it is that they're going to share. Everybody likes good news. But this good news will cause great joy. This good news will promote or provoke a reaction, a response. There will be a joyous response when that news is shared. It's like, "Hey kids, we're all going to Disney World," and there's great rejoicing. "Hey kids, you're getting a puppy for Christmas." I have no idea if you are or you're not, but there's much rejoicing, right? Or, "Hey, I got a negative test result." There's all kinds of messages that we can receive that are good news, that cause great joy, that cause us to respond in that manner. But this good news that will cause great joy is for all people. for all people. You see, generally speaking, good news is limited to, in its scope, the family that's going to Disney World. It's great news for them, but not so great for everybody else, right? For the person who gets the negative test result, what about the person who doesn't? You see, that good news is almost always limited in its scope. And yet the angel said that this would be good news for all people. This is good news for everybody. The impact of this news has no limit in its scope. Every single human being will have access and can benefit from this good news. What could possibly be so good that it would cause great joy for all people? Well, the angels went on to say, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior. A Savior is simply someone who saves, right? That's fairly obvious. When I think of that idea, I often think of one who rescues. Someone who saves someone is someone who rescues someone. My mind goes to the beach in the summer, and you're swimming out in the ocean, and you get caught in a rip current, and you can't get back to shore. And you recognize in that moment that this is serious, and you're in danger, and you can't rescue yourself. And so, hopefully, what happens is the lifeguard becomes aware of your situation, and he or she comes out to you to rescue you, to bring you back to shore, to bring you to safety. This will be a Savior, will be one who rescues. And this one has the potential to rescue everybody, which naturally raises the question, what do we need to be rescued from? Why do I need to be rescued? And that's a really good question. Some of the things that pop to our mind that might also, in the days when Jesus was born, we need to be saved from perhaps political oppression or racial injustice, and all these things come to our minds. We're thinking, tension in our relationships and the things that are happening within those relationships. You know, we need somebody to rescue us sometimes from all of that. Maybe that's where our mind goes. Financial troubles. I need somebody to rescue me from those things. And yet, really, the problem is much deeper than that. Jesus came not just to set those things right, and he will ultimately do that, but really his focus in his first coming was to take care of an issue that was much bigger than those things. And this issue wasn't on the outside of us, it's on the inside, because the real problem is us. It's our selfishness, it's our pride, it's our greed, it's our violence, it's our ugliness, any of those things that cause hurt to others or just an offense to God and who he is. That's the real problem. And Jesus came as a rescuer in that situation. Because the problem is, the bad news, is that none of us can rescue ourselves. We all need a rescuer. And thank God that he sent one that first Christmas night. God, become one of us. God, Emmanuel. God with us. That's who we celebrate tonight.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
God's announcement this time was a little more subtle, but certainly no less unusual. This sign came probably months before Jesus was born in the form of a light. Whether it be supernatural or natural, we don't know. But a star arose, and there were those who paid attention to such things. And magi came from the east, traveling likely hundreds of miles in search of the newborn king. And of course, if you were searching for a king, you would go to the capital city. And so they go to Jerusalem because that's where the current king resided. And they would expect to find a king in a palace. And so they ask, where is this newborn king? And King Herod goes to his advisors and seeks an answer. And they go to the prophet Micah, who wrote hundreds of years prior. And in his words, he revealed that the newborn king would be born in Bethlehem, this small town just outside of Jerusalem. And so the answer was given, and the Magi head out to go in search once again of this newborn king. In the prophet's words, there's some interesting descriptions of this individual, of this newborn baby. And the one thing that catches our ear is the idea of a king or a ruler. These words speak of power and privilege to us. The wise men went to Jerusalem because that was the place of power. They understood that. That's where you would go in search of a king. We think of one who will be in authority. And when we think of that, that doesn't always have a good vibe to us. We understand that there are many who are in authority who do wonderful things, but we've also seen examples of those in authority who haven't. And sometimes we witness those in authority using that authority and power negatively. Instead of serving those that they lead, they use it to advance their own interests. And they can even use it to hurt those that are under their leadership. We've observed that. And so that makes us skeptical sometimes of words like king or ruler or any kind of authority structure. But can we imagine a leader who makes decisions and uses their power for the common good? We can, because we see examples of that also today. Many who are in authority do use their power for the good of those that they lead. A leader who is selfless and even willing to sacrifice for others, even ultimately his or her own life, that's a kind of leader I would want to follow. Could we not imagine ourselves wanting to follow such a leader? Could we imagine choosing to submit, to come under their authority because we trust that they truly care about us? You see, when we have a leader that we are confident cares about us, we're so much more apt to follow their leadership. Remember what the prophet said. The prophet said that this leader, this ruler, will shepherd his people. A shepherd protects, cares for, watches over his or her sheep. Often as the sheep would come in at night to the pen for their protection, the shepherd would know each of them by name, could identify each of his sheep, and would often run his or her hands over the sheep to see if there was any injuries or wounds and apply the appropriate medicine or oil to bring healing. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. Could this newborn king be that kind of leader?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I love how God works in the details. God uses a Roman emperor to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the place prophesied for the baby Jesus to be born. to fulfill scriptures that were written hundreds of years ago. God is a God who is in the details. The Savior, the King, the ruler, the shepherd, is born and laid in a manger. Ponder that for a minute. This ruler, this king, is laid in a feeding trough. Not what you would expect. You would expect a king to be in a palace with all of the comforts that come with that. But no, instead, God chose for his son to be born in a stable and to be laid in a feeding trough. Why? Because I believe so strongly that God wanted us to know right from the first moment that this king was different. That this was a king who was a shepherd, who cared for his people. This was a king who could relate to us and yet lead us. This was a king who didn't come to be served, but to serve. And as Jesus himself said, to give his life as a ransom for many. For all of us. Every single one of us. It's interesting to note the differences between the shepherds and the magi. The shepherds were close by, but often marginalized because of their profession. They were likely uneducated. Few knew what they did. Few cared, most likely. The Magi, on the other hand, were men of esteem. They came from a distance, another country. Instead, it seemed a world away. They were highly educated, well-respected, and well-resourced. They couldn't have been more different. And maybe that's what God wanted us to get from these first announcements of the birth of Jesus. That this newborn king, this ruler, this shepherd, this Savior was for everyone. There is no one who doesn't, this good news does not apply. This good news is for all people. And this good news is of a Savior born in Bethlehem. Jesus would echo the heart of his Father when he said these familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." We'll have hope in this life and in the next. And we are all in need of hope. God wants us all to have life, to have hope. And that hope can only be found in Jesus and in what he did to rescue us. It's interesting that although they were so different, both the shepherds and the magi had the same response. They both went looking for this newborn king. They both went looking for Jesus. And when they found him, they both worshiped him, which simply means they acknowledged that God was doing something amazing and they were happy to be a part of it. They acknowledged that God had brought the Savior into the world. And they acknowledged him for who he was, who he is, the rescuer and the leader of all who will follow him. We are all invited to make the same response as we seek Jesus, to trust him as our rescuer and to follow him as our leader, because Jesus truly did come for everyone. The next song we're going to sing is simply called Hope for Everyone. And even if it's not familiar to you, you'll catch on to it pretty quickly. But let the words sink in as it tells the story of Christmas wrapped in the message of hope. I love that line, heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone. Whether it was through angels that appeared to the shepherds or whether through a star that appeared to the wise men, God is still proclaiming today that there is hope for everyone. And that means there's hope for you and for me. It's not just a group, it's us as individuals. God knows us by name, he cares about us, and he offers each one of us hope. But God is not a God who forces himself upon people. Instead, he presents hope to us, and it's up to us whether we will receive it. It's our choice. And yet the best decision we could ever make is to receive the hope that is found in Jesus through trusting him as our rescuer and becoming followers of his leadership, adopting him as our leader, because that is living the best life that we can live, a life filled with hope now and a life with hope for eternity. And that's what God wants. That's why God sent Jesus. But this hope isn't just something to be received. And my prayer is that if you haven't received the hope of Jesus, that you would do that tonight. There is no better time than to accept what he freely offers you. But it's not just something to be received. It's also something to be shared. You know, hope is good for us, but hope is even better when we share it with other people. It's like good news. We all appreciate good news, and it's great to be able to share that with other people, especially when that good news impacts them. In a moment, we're going to be singing Silent Night and lighting candles, and some of our kids are going to come up. In fact, I invite them to come on up now if they would, and they're going to get us started in singing the song. But if you have a candle with you and a way to light it, I would just encourage you to go ahead now and light that candle. And as you do, think about that representing hope. Where did that light come from? Ultimate light is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. He is the one that can give us hope. And then once he does, he calls us to share it with others. And so if you're gathered with other people watching this tonight, I would encourage you to go ahead and light each other's candles and let that symbolize the sharing of the hope of Jesus, something that God calls us to do. Just imagining all of these candles of light spread all over this area, even throughout our country, even throughout the world. And as you hold that light, just be reminded that God has given you hope through his son Jesus. And wherever you are and whatever you're going through, wherever the circumstances that you're facing, God has allowed you to be a light to those who are around you. We are called, those of us who have made that decision to trust Jesus as our good shepherd, to follow him as our leader, to be sharers of the hope that he has given to us. Because this hope is for everyone. Jesus himself declared that those who followed him would never walk in darkness because he is light. And when he is with us, no matter how dark the darkness is around us, we still have light in Jesus. I'm so thankful for that this Christmas season, as well as every day, that that is a reality, that is true. It's something we can count on. You know, that opportunity to spread hope, to share hope with those around us, just a practical thing that we would encourage you to take advantage of is we have these little packets made up, and in here there's a note card, and then there's a little instruction booklet, and it's called Hope for Everyone. It's a challenge, and it's really a challenge that over the next few weeks, once Christmas is done and we head into January and it's dark and cold and the holidays are over and maybe it's a little tough for someone you know, and it's an opportunity for you to write a note of encouragement on the note card, use the little instruction booklet with some suggestions of how you could create a little care package, a hope package, and then deliver it to that person just as a note, a way of encouraging them, of sharing hope with them. What a great way that we can all be involved in that, even beyond Christmas. And I would encourage you, you can pick these up here at the church in the lobby or at the Welcome Center anytime that you're in the building here, and we would encourage you to go ahead and do that. Thank you so much for being a part of this celebration this evening. We're delighted that you could join us in this way. We're so thankful that you have. And our desire is that this has been a gift to you, that this has been something that has brought encouragement and hope to you. Because Jesus truly is hope for everyone. Have a great, great night and a great Christmas celebration tomorrow. Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining us.